Hello and bright blessings. This is Mary, the magic apothecary, and the White Witch. I have recently changed my name a little bit so that I am the White Witch and the magic apothecary, so we can talk about witchcraft and being a White Witch, also a Dark Witch, if someone wants to be that, and also magical works of herbalism and all kinds of cooking and putting together the fruits of the earth to make magic. So it's a combination of things that I do, and I wanted to find a better way to name it. We are listening to, in the background, someone named Anwen, A-N-N-W-N. I found her music on the internet, and I love her, and I use her music quite often in ritual and meditation. So I wanted to put her up here today for us to listen to. She's in the way background, and I hope you enjoy hearing parts of it as we go on. So I missed putting up a podcast for Lugnasa because I thought I had already done one some time ago, and I didn't, or at least I think I did it on YouTube. So if you're looking for that there, you can look for the White Witch and or the Magic Apothecary, A-P-O-T-H-E-C-A-R-Y, on YouTube if you want information on Lugnasa. But I will do it again on here, since it's much more accessible, I think, to people to find it here. So there's that. We're in the season of, coming into the season of Mabon. A lot of people believe that Sabbats, Wiccan Sabbats or Pagan Sabbats, are just on the day of the thing. Like, you know, Mabon is usually around the autumn equinox, which in this case, this year is September 23rd. But it's not only that, it's the entire season from September 21st or to the 23rd on until we have our Sabbat and beginning of Samhain, which is the dark time of the year. Mabon is a pretty interesting time of the year. In the Northern Hemisphere, we are celebrating the harvest. This is not the first harvest, as Lugnasa is the first harvest, right after Midsummer. We are actually in the dark time of the year, though. After Midsummer, the days get shorter. In the Northern Hemisphere, we're probably noticing that now, coming in around 6 or 7 p.m., and soon we'll change our clocks again and go back an hour, so things will be darker even sooner. I kind of welcome this time of the year, because to not welcome this time of the year is to not welcome the darkness and the coolness and the actual death and rebirth of things. A lot of people get really depressed at this time of the year because the sun is going away. And in my mind, in my spirit, that's a good thing. I think too much sun and too much heat, as we are now experiencing in many places, based on what's going on with our planet and the global warming that's happening, too much heat is no good. Too much sun is no good. Too much God energy is no good. We need the goddess as well. And of course, the goddess is growing in plants, and she's in our insects, and she's in seeds, and she's everywhere, as well as the God being everywhere. But her energy is different. Her energy is the dark side of the year. Her energy is the womb. Her energy is the seed inside the womb. Her energy is the darkness enveloping us. She is the yin to God's yang. So yang is the outward creative driving force of the universe, and the yin is the inward taking in force, feminine, masculine. This is a feminine, more feminine time of the year. Things that were growing and pushing up and forward in the creative push to the sun itself are now sort of shrinking down and becoming seeds and changing the way that they are existing and or even living. Many things drop seed and die. Many plants do that. Many other plants hunker down into the earth, into their roots, and sort of hibernate. And many animals also hibernate. I've been watching the squirrels here in Brooklyn, New York. Quite busy they are. Squirrels are. They have been busy all summer stealing my squash flowers. I think they owe me some money. There's ways to work with squirrels. Squirrels are good at making savings happen and bringing you money and luck. So if you want to work with animals, squirrels are a good one to work with. So I'm going to talk to my squirrels. I'm going to give them a little talking to and say, you know, you took all my squash flowers, you guys, so now I want something in return. See what they give me. I'll let you guys know. So there's that. So Mabon is coming along. I like to do these on Sabbats, but I think I'm going to do them more often. I've been watching and reading about podcasters. In particular, one very famous one, his name is Mark Maron. If you've heard of Mark Maron, he's got a He's a comedian, and he's got a really interesting podcast up where he sort of spews his own ideas about life, and then he interviews people. I've been trying to interview people, and I will continue to do more of that. I have had some interesting witches on the podcast here, and I will go on and on and do more. There's lots of people who are out there who are famous witches, but there's also just, you know, regular people like me who are going on and learning life through the eyes of the goddess and witchcraft, who like to share with others. And I'm going to start digging those guys up for you to hear. I have been lucky, very lucky and blessed to receive emails from some people. And I'm really happy when I do, because I know that this is actually doing something good instead of just me blabbering into a microphone. And I'm seeing that there are a lot of people out there who are feeling disenfranchised and don't have a place to really get together with others in a pagan space. Now, that's not uncommon, just so we can say that out there. I'm in New York City, and amazingly enough, although at one point in maybe say the 80s and 70s into the 90s, New York City was full of pagan community. It was a very large pagan community here, but New York is actually, even though people think it's a wild place, it's a very conservative place, a big conservative place, but it's a conservative place. So the pagan community has gotten very small. There's only one real witchcraft store that exists in New York City, and that store itself is not as serious as it used to be. Let's put it that way. It's changed location and changed ownership, and it's nice, and there's great candles and things to buy there, but it's not full of the energy that one needs. Also, I've been up to Salem, where a lot of witches sort of go to be witchy, but I don't know, it felt a little bit touristy to me. Like, I might as well have been in Times Square rather than in Samhain. I could have bought many fame and earrings and cloaks and brooms and felt quite witchy walking around the streets of Salem, but I didn't. I felt like I was in a museum of sorts, or like a tourist attraction. So that being said, although people believe there's a large pagan community out there, there's really kind of not. There's a lot of us out there, millions and millions of people who are actually pagan and are calling themselves witches at this point in time. So we're out here, but we're not together as much as we'd like to be, maybe. We don't have a, quote, church. We don't have an organization. It's a solitary path, and it's a voluntary path, and it's a choice. So it's what I get from some of my emails. People have chosen to be pagan, have been feeling they are chosen by the god and goddess to be pagan, and how walking the path quite alone. But you are not alone. I am certainly here, and many of us are here. There's plenty of places to read things and understand things and be in community. I think Facebook is one place that you might want to explore if you're feeling lonely and not and with amongst other witches. You can probably find a page or a group that reflects exactly what you're looking for, or many pages and groups to you know, test out as much as you want to test out and learn as much as you want to learn. I always caution, you know, internet is full of lunatics sometimes, and so be careful who you speak to, and be careful how much you take things seriously. There is a good amount of information on the internet about witchcraft and paganism, and again, take with grain of salt, large grain of salt. Some things are real and some things aren't, and that goes for books as well. You can pick up zillions of books right now, but in the reality is, the first bunches of really good pagan books are probably the ones that first came out, are the ones you probably want to be looking for. You know, the Cunningham books, the Starhawk books, the Gardner books, the Crowley information. If you're really interested in Wicca, as it is, it's time, you know, maybe it'd be good for you to take a look at what that is, and based on what people wrote way back when. The Witch's Bible is a good source for that. Plus, there's a internet, big, huge internet space called sacredtexts.org, I think it is. And there you can find loads of things on Wicca. Also, if you're financially strapped and find out, you don't want to spend tons of money on books, you can go to Scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D, which is like $8.99 a month. And there they also have Wiccan books. I found bunches of them on there, and easy to find, easy to get. You can also get them on Audible, or I also know that there are other podcasters out there doing pretty good witchcraft work. So there's so much information at this point in time. When I was coming up as a witch, And I'm actually, I'm also a performer, and I have just recently started working on a show about when I found the goddess way back when, many, many years ago in the 90s, and how it changed my life and how it really transformed me from sort of I thinking I was a victim in a bad marriage and having financial issues and being depressed, and found this stuff and saw the truth in it and found my inner divinity. And I didn't need much else from that point on as far as external things. I learned a lot about paganism. I had actually taken 2 8-month courses, one in 95 or 6 and one in 2003, both with the same place and same people, but was more advanced the second time around. And I think at the time I must have read about, I don't know, 100 books, no kidding. A friend of mine and I just went, and as often as we could, to Barnes & Noble and bought a book and shared it and read another book and shared it and read another book and shared it. And we just followed the path to astrology and to herbalism, you know, on and on and on. So at this point in time, these many years later, I've discovered that I am a hedge witch. That's a word people throw around. I am a hedge witch and a kitchen witch. What I do is work with herbs, plants, animals, and of course, cooking, and magic with food, magic with anything you wear on your body that has a combination of different things, from, like you would when you cook, oils and plants and spices and on and on. So first thing I actually did was herbal kitchen magic, because when I first started studying witchcraft, I had nothing to do in the house except spices, and that's how it all began. I started making my own incense and my own magical concoctions, and then that led to soaps and perfumes and lotions and oils, etc., 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 etc. And that's what the magic apothecary is. That's my growth into hedge witchery and healing. And that led to other things as well, like Reiki and sound and music healing that I use in my ritual and all the time in my life as a singer and a performer and as a healer. So on and on and on. You know, one thing always led to another, and that was our way of doing that. So I might suggest that to you as well if you're new at this. And if you're not, I found that sometimes the path feels, after many years, quiet. After you've explored quite a lot, it starts to become routine, and the Sabbats become routine, and it becomes like any other sort of religion, and it just becomes, oh, get together with friends and maybe we'll do a full moon. It becomes a little tired. And what I've discovered over all this time is that when I pick up a new book or a new path, even if I don't follow it all the way, recently I've been working with the Fellowship of Isis and working with the goddess Isis and trying to form an ICM here in New York City. My life has derailed that work temporarily, and that's one of the reasons why there haven't been these many podcasts here. But it's better now, and I'll get back on the stick. You know, finding a new goddess to explore, a new pantheon, a new idea. I'm also starting to read a lot about Italian folklore magic, being half Italian myself. And of course, I'm constantly looking into Celtic work and histories and stuff like this. So I would say, if you're feeling stymied or stale or what have you, this is the perfect time of the year, though, to think about revitalization. Even though it feels like, oh my gosh, everything's dying. What are you talking about, woman? How about revitalization? Well, yes, of course, revitalization. Now's the time to say, okay, things are dying. The force of nature is pulling in. I can pull in. I can start to just hunker down and learn through the cold, dark winter, and really focus my mind all the way through these next few Sabbats until we get to, you know, Yule, get through Mabon and harvest, and pull in what I've done this year and what I've done in my life, and get to the next place and start to see what it is I want to do next after I let everything go. And that's an important thing at this time of the year, letting it go. You know, okay, it is what it is. Your harvest is what it is. You've gotten where you've gotten at this point. There's no place else to really go. I'm not saying you can't still grow and learn. Of course you can. And this is a really pretty vital time in New York City, the autumn. There's a lot of theater going on here. There's a lot of art exhibits and galleries opening, a lot of fashion work is going on. A lot of business is really hunkering down. And of course, all the children are in school. So, and college is in session. So a lot of hunkering down and planting new seeds, but we can't get new seeds until we have already harvested the old. So yes, it is a harvest time, and that's why everything is growing and people are celebrating and almost feasting in energy all around the world at the moment. In the Southern Hemisphere is a whole different story at this time of the year. So it's a different kind of a thing. They're entering deeply into their growing season. And so they're the opposite side of where we are, which is really interesting. And I can't wait one day to get down there to any place, or maybe into Australia, and see what that feels like when Maybon is not Maybon, when it looks different, when it's a different time and the earth is producing instead of to pulling in. I want to see that, and I hope I will one day. So Maybon, let's talk about that. Maybon, that just means autumn equinox. It's the second harvest, and it falls between, as I said, September 21st and 23rd. This year, the day itself falls on the 23rd. So it's M-A-Y-B-U-N or B-O-O-N, Maybon, Maybon. It's okay, it's a Celtic word, and the O is not necessarily long in that word. So it could be Maybon, but it could be Maybon as well. So whatever way you say it is totally cool. And a lot of people just like to say the autumn equinox. So it is a day that divides the day and night equally. It's a time that there's the equal amount of sun and dark. So this is a wonderful celebration. As I said, on the other side of the world, it's spring equinox, which is another equal time. All right, this is Ostara down there. But up here, Maybon is when it's the last day that's not more dark than light. This is the last day the sun himself has any power, or his full power, not any power, but his full power. From this point on, you will start to see him diminish further and further. And she, the goddess, will become more and more what we see and what we experience. So you want to pay respects to her and to the impending dark and death of many things, the endings of many things. You also want to give really great thanks to the sun, who has actually, he literally is in the crops. He has been what made chlorophyll in plants transform themselves into growing things and giving them their life's blood and strength. And he is contained in every drop of food you will ingest in your whole life. And at this time in particular, is a time for feasting and saying thank you for these beautiful gifts that are holding the sun himself and his seeds within you, within him, within those foods. So this is a day that Druids used to call this Mian Fiomar or Fiovar, in honor of the green man, the god of the forest. And they used to offer libations to the trees, also giving them nuts and fruits. So this is a good day if you want to give offerings to the god. You can use ciders or wines, herbs. Even fertilizer is appropriate at this time. Fertilizing your plants, cleaning away the weeds that are dying now, taking in the harvest, don't leave it out there. And that means also metaphorically, don't leave what you've done out there to die on the vine. It's time to take stock of your life and say, hey, I did these things, write them down, get them on the internet, keep a log, keep a journal. This is what I've done thus far. So there's time for that. So Wiccans celebrate the aging goddess. All right, so the goddess is aging, right? She's passing from mother, where she was full of life and birth, gave birth, and now she becomes the crone. She becomes the grave. And the god prepares for his death and rebirth. Since I've been studying Isis, it's very much like what happens to Horus when he goes into the sarcophagus, and then Isis comes and gets him and pulls him out, and we have, again, growth and a power of the sun through Horus, the younger, her son. So at this point, the god is pulling in and pulling into the earth herself, the mother herself, back to the womb. So there's a lot of different names that have to do with Maybon, and I have a list here, so I'll just read them to you because some of them are fun and they come from all over the world. Some people call it the lesser Sabbat. Like the equinoxes are not considered one of the greater Sabbats. It's about growing and it's about fertility, but they don't consider it as important as Samhain and a Beltane, but I do. I really do. Maybon for me was that was, but this was my first actual first Sabbat. This is the first Sabbath I ever celebrated in my life with some understanding, not a lot of understanding, but some understanding. And to me, this is the most, to me, because of that time, the most important holiday that there is for me. But everybody has their own favorite. This is also a wine harvest, which makes total sense. I mean, the grapes are coming in droves now. Some people call it the Feast of Avalon. Avalon being the ancient idea, a Celtic idea of King Arthur and where he lived and ruled. Also, the Strega in Italian, in Italy call it Exercizio di Otono, which is just the autumn equinox in Italian. Alban Alfred is another way to say it that's also Welsh, or Cornucopia, the Teutonic name. Winter Finding spans a period of time from this, from October 15th all the way through the new year. So in different places in the world, people celebrate this harvest in different ways. And of course, if we have any Jewish friends out there, we definitely know that at this time in the Jewish calendar is very much about harvest. There are two or three actually big holidays at this time that are about harvest and releasing the year previous and releasing mistakes and starting fresh and planting new seeds. So again, it's the end of fertility time and the beginning of harvest. So it's also a lot about equality and balance. This is, we're in Libra or entering into Libra. We're not there. Are we there yet? No, at the time I'm recording this, we're still in Virgo, which is again, a grain goddess, right? The goddess of that rules the symbolism of Virgo is a grain goddess. And she's taking in the harvest. She's pulling in the grain. And Libra itself, which will start on the equinox itself, most likely this year on the 23rd of September, you will begin to see a balance of day and night. And that's what Libra is about. It's about balance. And so all of these things coincide, astrology and growing on the planets and everything around us. Our ancestors knew exactly what they were doing when they wrote all this down. They were not ignorant people. They knew exactly what was happening. They used the symbolism around themselves to live their lives. They were much more grounded and connected to the earth. And that's what this is all about, being part of the natural world. So a lot of people use different symbols for Maybon. They could use things like wine itself. It's a good time to get fresh, you know, or good wine, at least, you know, a little aged, but this is a time to use wine since it is a wine harvest. People pull in gourds, which are not edible types of squashes. So those are beautiful and decorative. Pine cones that are falling off the trees really now represent the seed of the god itself. Acorns as well represent his seed. Grains, corn itself is a seed. Apples coming in abundance. I just saw across the street from me, there's a greengrocer. He had a container of apples delivered, which was so big, you could have fit a family inside of it. So that's what's happening. Harvest is in full gear right now. Of course, pomegranates are used because of the seeds. And also we talk about the whole idea of Persephone in Hades. And this is when she goes back down to Hades. If you know your myth of Persephone in Hades, if not, please look it up, because that's an important part of paganism. Understanding that the goddess of spring herself is now descending into the underworld with her husband, Hades, the lord of the underworld. And the reason she goes is based on a pomegranate. So I give you an assignment. I'm not going to tell you it all. Go look it up. It's a great story. So also people use a lot of vines, such as ivy. This is time to pull in dried seeds. And people will create like horns of plenty. Just like in America, we do our Thanksgiving horns of plenty. And by the way, Thanksgiving is entirely very much the same kind of idea. If you think about Thanksgiving, Maybon and Thanksgiving are very much the same. So herbs that come at this time that people love to use in magic could be acorns, like I've said, benzoin, which is a beautiful smelling thick resin, which is very green and very heavy and smell. Ferns, grains of all sorts in your magic, honeysuckle flowers. If you can pull them in now, if you find them outside, dry them, they have a beautiful smell. And you can use those in incenses. You can actually make tinctures out of those. You can use them in food as well. So marigolds also. This is the time of marigold from August until the frost. It's time for marigolds. So people like to bring those in and use those. Milkweed have lovely seeds on them. It's something to really look for if you find them hanging. Please identify any and all seeds you pull in from the wild. Make sure you get yourself a nice book that describes everything you're picking so you don't pick something that's poisonous to yourself or your family. Please be cautious and educate yourself about what things look like before you pull them in. Passion flower, that's a great one for this time of the year. And passion flower is very useful for sleep. It's a sedative and a light sedative, and something that also does invoke passion because it does relax you. So it's almost like having a drink without having a drink, which is very nice. Roses are coming in dry now. Sage is in full bloom and ready to be picked. Solomon's seal, tobacco, if you want to use tobacco, and many people in other types of work, witchcraft work, do use tobacco as an offering to the gods. So I wouldn't suggest you actually ingest it yourself, because it is a dangerous herb and a very powerful herb and can actually take over your life. If you do ingest it, you may never get it out, as we know about cigarettes. So, but you can use it well in honor of gods, and they adore it. It's a very powerful, and it's almost as if they're in it as well. So that's something to look into. Tobacco is a very interesting herb, a very alive herb, very powerful. Thistles of all sorts, it's a great time for them to be harvested. You can find milk thistle, good for you. It's a rare thing and a very helpful thing for the liver. And all sorts of vegetables, of course. People like to put on their altars or in their feasts, breads. Using fresh grain at this point, if you can find it, is really wonderful. And bringing in breads, that's what our ancestors did. They said, oh, thank you for the corn, thank you for the wheat, thank you for the barley. Let's keep it as long as we can. Let's use as much as we can. And they would make a lot of bread that they would try to keep fresh through the end of the year until things started growing again. So bread was a way for them to keep things fresh, or they would now be grinding grains so that they could continue to make just water and flour kinds of breads to get themselves through till the next part of the year when things grew again. So this is the time to give thanks with bread, saying, hey, look, we can make bread, cool, thanks. Nuts also can be eaten, used in feasts, apples, pomegranates, and of course there's vegetables, including root vegetables, which are now in full force. We had these great, humongous horseradish roots we found. So we just fermented, we're fermenting those and keeping those fresh. It's time that I like to do a lot of fermenting. I take in fresh vegetables and ferment them. I'll ferment cabbage and make sauerkraut. I'll ferment any kind of fresh vegetables that are fermentable. And it is also a lovely time to dehydrate. This is the end of the berry season. There are maybe a few strawberries that are still fresh out there. I like to take whatever peaches may be left, take whatever fruits from the summer that I won't see again for a year, and dehydrate them and keep them around and have them as snacks and keep them and put them in breads and use them in different ways. So it's a good time to do that. And I found out recently, I have an air fryer. This is I love machines and because I am a kitchen witch, I really am. I love any kind of thing that I can use the force of energy to change something alchemically. So I love my air fryer because I don't have to use oil anymore on anything I want to use that's crunchy, make that's crunchy. And it's a wonderful cooker as well. And I have a Ninja, they're not paying me anything. I'm just saying I have a Ninja air fryer. It wasn't too expensive and it dehydrates, yay. And so I can actually dehydrate every day if I want to. I also have a tremendous dehydrator. It's also a good time to make fruit leather. So just putting that out there for you guys that are kitcheny, is a good time to also can if you want to make your own tomato sauce. Tomatoes are in, so, and they're done. And if you want to can like zucchini or yellow squash, this is the time for that. And this is the time where you start thinking about soup. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm a kitchen witch. This is a time you start thinking about stews and soups. It's still a little warm, but it won't be soon. So I start putting those up. I start saying, okay, let me grab in the fresh vegetables. Let me make some, something with string beans today or mushrooms today that are still fresh. And then I will freeze them. And by 2-3 months from now, I'll still have them. So it helps me keep the fresh taste of summer in my palate and in my body. And I think our bodies need them. And we're lucky that we can do that. We have freezing. You know, our ancestors had to dry everything and or can or and or bury. Or they just didn't have them. I don't know. This is when, unfortunately, we had to, our ancestry had to murder animals to survive. And you will see when I talk about Samhain, that is the meat harvest. That is when you killed whatever you could to get that salted and ready for the winter so you could survive. So that's why we're omnivores in the Northern Hemisphere, most particularly. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's not as bad, and they are able to very much survive without any animal sacrifice. And that's what I call it. When you eat meat, you are sacrificing an animal for you. So when you do that, please make sure you remember that you took a life and it sacrificed itself and its life and its desire to be alive for you. Many witches are vegan. I am one of them, and that is what I do. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but remember, it's a sacrifice that is not necessary any longer. But if anything changes in our world, it might be again. So we keep our minds open to the reasons why our ancestors did what they did. Okay, so all of those things can be used. You see, I'm not mentioning any meat in the list of foods. It's really a harvest of vegetables. So a lot of people like to make incense based on these things. So you can blend certain things. Like, people like to use sage because it's fresh now and easy to use. And you can start to bring in sage, if you want a growing sage, and make bundles for the winter to cleanse your space. Myrrh is easy to blend into an autumn mix. I like to make a pumpkin pie sort of spice. And that's what I use for my incense. I will grind up cloves and cinnamon, and I will grind up, I will add sometimes benzoin, and I will grind up any other sweet smelling kind of herbal thing, nutmeg, and I will then burn that on charcoal. So if you need to know how to do that or how to grind, a coffee grinder is a great way to go, and you just keep it clean and wipe it out, because otherwise your coffee will smell like cloves and maybe you don't want that. Or you can use a mortar and pestle, and you can grind these things up, and you get yourself a nice lit charcoal in a fireproof dish, and you can go from there. They sell these discs of charcoal. You can find those on witchcraft stores all over the internet or in your local witchcraft store. I'm sure that they have them. But make sure that you always, 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 always watch any fire that you're using. Just always say that. Okay, so the colors of Mabon are, of course, the colors of the harvest. That's pretty simple, right? Gold, brown, maroon, your typical fall colors. Excuse me. Stones, and these are stones that are around at this time. The stones of Virgo are sapphire and lapis lazuli, and also yellow agates. And so these are colors of stones that are actually birthstones of the two signs that are around this time. So a lot of people begin to make wine at this time of the year. And if you were in France or Italy or Spain at this moment, you'd be doing that with your, if you were a grower of grapes. This is the time they have to come in, and they have to get them in to the vats before they, of course, go bad. So this is a big time, and our ancestors did make wine. They took in, our ancestors were brilliant. So they made all of this up. We just live on their backs. That's how I feel. They knew how to make wine. They figured out how to make wine. They figured out how to make beer. They figured out how to ferment so that things would last. We're just using their knowledge still. Okay, so there's that. It's a great time to start gathering your herbs. I have a full herbal garden on my stoop in Brooklyn. It's time for me to cut them all down and hang them and dry them and keep them for any medicine I might need during the winter. So it's also a good time to collect if you can and find them. Once we have our, just before the frost, it's time to think about getting rose hips, which is the round sort of tomato-y looking part of a rose after it dies. And you can clip those, and you can make jelly out of those, or you can make salve out of those, or you can just use them as dried offerings to the gods, or you can put them in spells or incense. So, but be careful that they are not been sprayed with any kind of Monsanto horrible poison. Okay, so make sure it's an organic garden or a place you know, or it's wild. And please never take too much. This is one rule of herbalism. Only take what you need, and please ask the plant before you do. And listen, because they'll tell you whether or not you can have anything. Believe me. Okay, so it's a great time for walking in the woods and smelling and seeing, because now as the leaves start falling, we can see clearer. And there's nothing more beautiful, I think, in my opinion, than walking in the woods when everything is in that gorgeous golden, you know, orange color as they're falling. I've been on trails where the leaves were falling like snow, and it was amazing just to feel the beauty of life all around me, and those colors and the smell of it and the quiet. And so if you have a chance to get out there, and if you are out there in a forest, even in a park, and I don't have a forest in New York. Actually, I do, actually one. And maybe now I've inspired myself to get up to Inwood, which is the last natural woodland area of New York City. And there's a great medieval festival up there for Fort Tyrion Park. So maybe it's a great time. I'm going to go. That's it. I've decided. Okay, so again, you can be a druid. You can offer libations to the trees. You can thank them. It's time to also adorn your burial sites. I mean, we're getting ready for Samhain. So if you have ancestors that you do visit and visit grave sites, it's a time to adorn them as well and thank them and give them thanks as well, giving them some fruits of the earth. For as far as spells go at this time of the year, it's a really great time for protection. You want to be the seed within the earth. You want to ask the goddess to watch over you and yours and everything that it concerns you. You want to be safe. This is also a great time to use the energy of the harvest for prosperity magic. And as a matter of fact, I have a store on Etsy, and just recently I have had a whole bunch of prosperity requests because people sense it. They feel it. It's time. And I'm glad to do it for them at this time because I know that when I do prosperity magic at this time of the year, it works. It totally works because it is the time of the year when we take in what we need. We take in, we gather. And we can gather money and security the same way we can gather pine cones. It also is a great time for self-confidence. It's a time to feel strong and forward-thinking and really grounded. Okay, and also it's a wonderful time to consider getting married, because we're entering Libra. Libra is the sign that rules partnership and marriage. So it's a great time. And I got married once in the fall. I've gotten married twice, but I did get married once in the fall, and it was a beautiful, really beautiful ceremony outside. It was beautiful and cold and leafy. And so you're in that same balanced place if you're choosing to do that. It's also just a great time for harmony and balance within yourself. Just being balanced, just finding the inner god and goddess and getting them in one place, getting the creative energy focused, getting yourself grounded, getting yourself put in place, because very soon we're entering the dark time and we'll have to be able to negotiate that mentally, physically, spiritually. There's many, many deities of Mabon. So of course there's a goddess called Modron, Morgan. There's the Celtic goddess Epona. I'd mentioned Persephone. The Muses are a Greek bunch that are wonderful to work with at this time of the year. Also the god named Mabon, this is his Sabbat. And Thoth, which is the god of balance in the Egyptian pantheon. Thor from the Norse. Hermes. And the Green Man. These are wonderful ones to work with. And if you do work, male and female, please try to see if they get along. That's something I've learned through experience. You want to keep, maybe stay within the same pantheon and just make sure that, you know, the Muses and Hermes will get along, or the Persephone and the Hermes will get along. Whatever it is, just make sure you check and see if they have any connections. Because if they do, you'll have a much better ritual. It's also a great time to consider mysteries and deal with aging deities like the Crone, as I've mentioned before, and the spirit world itself, because the veil between us and the other side is thinning day by day by day until it opens almost entirely at Samhain, which is on October 31st. It's also a time of, this is a time of like relaxation. You know, a lot of us feel like, oh, a lot of people gone back to school and work is starting again. But it's also a time to think about, you know what, I'm going to kick off my shoes and have a glass of wine and sit in the forest, or go to the beach when nobody else is there and watch a sunset and just eat well and be thankful and create and be full of that kind of energy rather than outward force, which would happen again in the spring at the time of Aries, which is all the way far in April when things start to grow and be forceful and the sun takes over again. So that was a lot of stuff, right? A lot of things. So I don't mean to be rambling, but I do. And I think that if I can help you prepare, even if you're solitary, a day for yourself that's sacred, I've done a good thing. So that's why I'm here. I want to talk a little bit about my own discovery of witchcraft and how that worked. Because as I said, I'm in the middle of writing a show. Let me take a drink of water here. About that particular thing. It's about myself a long time ago. And at the time, I was in a marriage, the marriage that I mentioned before, that happened in the fall, and it was falling apart. It was not a good marriage. We were not getting along. It was not physically good. It was not financially good. It was not, it just didn't work. And we had had a child because, you know, I was very young. I was under 30. I was 27 when I got pregnant. To me, that was very young. It wasn't actually, but it was to me. And it changed everything, and in a good way for me. I love my son. I adore my son. I think he's the light and center of my life, and I'm glad I did it. However, it was not good for the marriage. It just made things worse. It just didn't work. And so we divorced. But I wouldn't have, I think, divorced had I not found paganism. And how I found paganism is interesting to me. I kind of was always New Age. I have been reading tarot cards since I'm 13 or so. My grandmother, my great-grandmother were stregaria, strega. They read cards and palms in Brooklyn. They were from Italy, and that's what they did. And again, my Irish family was rife with mediums, people who speak to the dead, like commonly spirit work and nature work, and almost always honoring the full moon. Very different kinds of thinking. One is a little more earthy because my family, Italian family, was from Sicily, and so they were much more rural. When they came here, my mother's family, which was the Irish side, Irish, English, Scottish side, with a little French, was more ethereal, which I find Celtic work to be more ethereal, a little different, different land, different place. So different culture, different people, different language. Anyhow, so I had been surrounded by this stuff my whole life, although raised super Catholic, super, super Catholic. And I was quite religious, and I was churchy, and I was thinking about becoming a nun. I was always very dedicated to deity, always very dedicated to the gods, whatever they may be. And particularly Mary, since my name was Mary, and I didn't know any better than that was God. I used to think Mary was God, because the church I went to had a huge mural over the altar, and there she was holding Jesus in her lap, and she was tremendous and beautiful. Mural of her and her the baby, and I figured that was God for a long time. I didn't know any better. So anyway, when I found the goddess, it was like, oh, I didn't find the goddess. I knew she was there all along. I've always been with her. I never wasn't. I was named for her. So being that being the case, when I started to work in the East Village in New York City at one point when my son was young, as a receptionist in a veterinary hospital, because I had been working that in Brooklyn as a day job. I was a singer and I needed money. And this is what I chose to do to make a couple of dollars because I had a lot of cats and la la la, I needed vet care. So I ended up working in vet hospitals for that reason and stayed for like 10 years in different ones all over the city. So this time I was working in the Lower East Side on East 9th Street between 1st and 2nd. And that time, right across the street from the St. Mark's Vet Hospital was Enchantments. And Enchantments has now moved down East 9th Street, but it's between A and 1st. Now, before it was on 1st and 2nd. And this store used to scare the bejesus out of me, literally. I was able to sit in my chair at the front desk reception area and look out the window at them, directly across the street at Enchantments. And so, of course, I would be there early because, you know, I worked and it was 9 o'clock and we were open, but by noon, these people would roll in, these people full of tattoos, smoking cigarettes, weird colored hair, pierced all over the place. This was the 90s, so, you know, and grunge looking. And they would open the store and hang out this crescent moon sign that said Enchantments. And then they would move things around in the front in this window. And they were these like horny, horned gods. Maybe they were too. I don't know if they were horny, but they were horned gods and goddess figures and paintings and strange symbols and candles. Like there was an altar in the window. It was one of those old-fashioned New York windows, or what you see in other places as well, though, which almost like a stage. They had a little stage and it was a big picture window. So I'd go every day outside of this veterinary hospital after I leave, probably around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd stare and stare and stare at that window. I'd go right across the street like a magnet and stare. And a couple of times people have like kind of beckoned me to come in, and I was like, oh, I can't go in there because if I do, I'm going to go to hell. I knew it was a witchcraft store. I had asked around about what it was, and I was like, oh, they're witches. Oh my God, they're witches. If I go in, they're going to put a spell on me. I'm going to hell. You know, the usual bullshit people think. Bullshit is total bullshit, right? But that's what I thought. And I was a Catholic, raised Catholic, and to believe that anything outside of the church was just bad. So after a few months, I had saved up some money, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go in there. I'm just going to buy a book. Just curious. I'm curious enough to find out what the heck is going on. And I'm a big reader. So I was like, I'll get a book. I'll just buy a book. And I had asked somebody who I knew was lightly involved in witchcraft what to get. So she had told me, get The Spiral Dance by Starhawk. She liked that book. So I said, okay. She said, it just came out not long ago. It's a big thing. People love this book. You're going to love it. So, and it's very, you know, feminist and very goddess centered. So I went in, I was freaking out. I was so scared. I couldn't remember the name of the book. I couldn't remember anything. I stood there staring at the wall of herbs and the smell which was in there, which was beautiful. It was a combination of this beautiful, flowery, woodsy smell and like the inside of my mother's spice cabinet combined, like the smell of a beautiful fresh pack of cigarettes mixed with a beautiful spice cake and more sweet roses. And I could, for me to explain the smell of that place, it would be, I think from that moment forward, I've been trying to recreate the smells of that place. To me, it just smelled like witches. It just smelled amazing. As a matter of fact, that to this day, my friends will come in here, or my son will say, my husband will say, you know, this house smells like witch. So maybe I have achieved it. I hope so, because I find it amazing. I wear perfumes and I make oils so I can actually recreate that smell as often as possible, because that's the first thing that hit me. And it was a little narrow store. It wasn't very big. And there was tons and tons of books and jewelry hanging right above the checkout. And there was this wild looking guy in there with a pair of very thick glasses and a mop of graying curly hair. And his name was Joe. And there he was. And he's the man I ended up spending a lot of time with in the backyard studying. But that's another story. Anyway, I asked about this book, freaking out, literally shaking. I was literally shaking. And it was, they said to me, you know, it's like tomorrow's Maybon. Do you want anything for the Sabbath? And I'm like, what? I was so scared. I said, the woman at the counter said, here, there's these little bits of incense. You can use that. Here, take this charcoal. And she just gave me that. She said, at least, I said, I had never done anything before. She goes, well, at least light some incense, you know, so that you can feel something. And I did. Oh boy, did I. When I came home, I devoured that book. I mean, in 2 days, I think I read the entire book. I was doing the rituals as I was going. I was chanting. I was talking about it. I was excited. I burnt that incense. I, oh my God, because it smelled like the star, and my whole house was full of that energy. And my son and I made a beautiful feast to celebrate the Sabbath. And that became everything. That became the center of my spiritual life. Everything came from there. All of this work, all of this stuff, all from a little packet of incense on Maybon. So you never know how this is going to happen. When the goddess calls you, she calls you. I had somebody write me a long, beautiful email about a story, about a vision he had, where the god himself called him in. Beautiful vision about a little horned god and trees and flowers. And I was like, you know what? You just self-initiated. You are a witch. They've called you. And that's what happens. It may not happen immediately. You may start to walk down this path and say, all right, I'm not so sure it even wants me, but I want it. So I'm going to start working on it. And it may lead to many other things. I didn't know that when I was 13 and buying my first pack of tarot cards, that I was actually a witch, just like my ancestors. I really didn't know. I thought I was just a religious girl who wanted to be a nun. I didn't understand that I was a daughter of the goddess, and I am. And I'm sure you are too, whoever's listening to this, because you wouldn't be listening to this if it wasn't calling you somewhere or you weren't just curious. So anyway, that's my story. And as I said before, I am now calling myself the White Witch and the Magic Apothecary so that I can explore more of this kind of a thing and less about just magic products, which is how that started many, many years ago on the internet. But now it's branched into a new direction, and I am a white witch. I am a hedge witch. I am a kitchen witch. I do healing work. I can also hex, and we will talk about that coming up at Samhain, and how you do that and why you do that and how you protect yourself. I'm not saying you should be hexing people. I'm not saying that's good, and what dark magic is and why it is appropriate at some times and why it's not. So I'll talk about that, and I have talked about that, and I'll talk about that some more as we go. And I will like to talk about, you know, what magic is, what it isn't. I think I maybe do that next, because I've had a client who's been writing to me quite often saying she wants me to give her a magic penny, just a magic penny. She wants me to just send this penny to her so that she can do a scratch-off game and win. And I'm like, that's not gonna work. You know, I can send you a penny and I can think it's magic, but it may not work for you at all. And then you're gonna think I'm just a faker, and I'm not. So I'm not sending you a penny. She got annoyed at me, but I'm like, no penny. You could get your own penny and empower your own penny, and then maybe it'll work, because I am not you, and I won't benefit from your winning that scratch off, will I now? I don't care if you win or not. I mean, I hope you do, but I'm not invested. Anyway, that's how magic works. That's what magic is. And also, I promise to have many more people to speak to. I will have to use the phone in order to speak to witches in San Francisco or in Connecticut or wherever they are, because it's not so easy to have people come here and talk to me in person. We are witches all over the country, actually all over the world. So I'm gonna start investigating different peoples. I know that Christopher Penzack, who's written a bunch of books and is a wonderful, wonderful herbalist and witch, is interested in speaking to me, as are other people in the pagan community who've been here quite a long time and have a lot to say. If you're interested in that kind of a thing, if you scroll up, you'll see Joe and Jezebel, who I studied with, and you can see Lady Rhea, who I also work with, and who was the owner of Enchantments that I speak of so much. So their interviews are up there, and you can listen to them. And these are witches that were witches before I was a witch, and successfully so. Anyway, I hope your May bond is wonderful. I hope that I've helped you have a good idea of what to do. Remember, be eclectic if you want to, but be interesting, be creative, use your force, use your life force, use your creativity. It's your religion. You create this religion. There is no church. There is no punch card. There is no routine. There is no way to do this except the way you want to do this. Yeah, there are ways to do Wicca. You can open up a book of shadows and follow the rituals, and that's fine too. Or you can just make them up, which is so American, isn't it? Isn't it American? Just to take something from somewhere else and mix it up in a pot and call it us. Well, that's what it is. Melting pot of spirituality. A melting cauldron. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I will be happy to make more, and am going to make more. Many bright blessings. I hope the God and Goddess surround you with all of their love and light, and may you receive and get everything you want to in this life. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Have a wonderful day.